要推锅第一的，
so I think it's like a PPT. So I'll first give a background of this and then we will discuss how we will go ahead with this discussion. As mentioned, I write a we can go back to this slide. So as mentioned, I write every day a small reflection on the Bhagavad Gita. So today morning I wrote about how the goal of spiritual life is to make spiritual life our goal. The goal of spiritual life is to make spiritual life our goal. What that means is, many people think that spiritual life is something which is an optional stress reliever. You know, sometimes I have a material life and that's the real life. And whenever I need a break from that, some people may watch movies, some people do some spiritual activities. So that's the idea people have. That is good. Anyway we approach spiritual life, anyway we approach Krishna, that is good. But actually, spiritual life can offer us much more than stress relief. It can offer us freedom from all distress. Actually, for many people in today's society, people may not even know about Krishna. So that's why the Janmashtami are about opportunities when they can bring Krishna into their lives. That means they come to know about Krishna, not just as some historical or mythological figure, but as a transcendental person, as a supreme lord. So that is the first step in spiritual life, when we bring Krishna into our life. However, when Krishna descends to this world, he doesn't descend just so that we bring him into our lives. He descends so that he can bring us into his life. So the goal of Krishna is not to that we bring him into our life. Yes, that is the beginning. But Krishna has no eternal abode in the spiritual world. And that is where we belong, and that is what for which we always long, although we may not know about it right now. So we all long for happiness, we all long for love. So we hope for me. So we all long for happiness, we all long for love. And all the happiness and all the love that our heart longs for, that is fulfilled completely and eternally in our relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Krishna descends to this world to invite us back to the eternal life of love. And when Krishna descends, he does two things. In the Bhagavad Gita, many times when we ask people, what is the purpose of why Krishna comes, they know this verse 4.7 and 8 in the Bhagavad Gita. So, sambhavani devi, Krishna comes again and again. What? He comes to destroy, deliver the miscreants, and he comes to free the devotees. This is true. But these are primary features. After dharma is established, what after that? Dharma doesn't just mean that order is established in this world. Order is for a particular purpose. Many times people ask, you know, if God is good, why is there so much evil in this world? Why are there so many problems in this world? So yes, problems are there. Actually, the goodness of any design has to be evaluated in the context of its purpose. Any design, if we evaluate divorcing it from its purpose, then that design can be faulted. For example, if I take a cell phone and then I try to write my new book on the cell phone and I start typing on it, what's a good stupid design? I can't even type with the four fingers. What is with the great fingers? How am I going to write a book with this? So now, the mobile is not designed for writing a book. The mobile has a particular purpose, that is telecommunication, and some small messaging can be done with. So any design we take, if we divorce the design from its purpose, then that design can be faulted. If that design is to be valid and valued, it has to be seen in the context of its purpose. So if we look at this world, what is the purpose of this world? Well, we can see two distinct things. One is that we see design of this world. We see even the way our body is designed. There is so much complexity in the design of the body. People say that what is the use of worshiping God? Is God going to put food in front of me on my table? And actually, it is God only who provides food. The birds, they may every morning they may wake up and chirp. Chirp, 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 chirp. They are going around searching for grapes. But actually, their searching does not produce the grapes. God provides the grapes and their searching only procures the grapes. So similarly, our endeavors for providing our necessities are secondary. It is God who provides the necessities. And our endeavor is required, just as the world has to search for grapes, but that is secondary. So, if we look at this world, it is designed. We need to eat food, there is food in nature. We need to digest food, there is digestive system. If our body gets wounded, there is a system for pumping. Each of these is so complex, but it takes years and years for students to medical students to try and understand this. And for generations of scientists to understand this, even decades. Not just decades, centuries. So there is unmistakably, undeniably evidence of design in the world. At the same time, there is undeniably suffering also in this world. There is old age, there is disease, there is death, there is adhyatmic pleasures are there. There are many times in Hindu religious ceremonies people chant Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So why do they chant this Shanti three times? Because actually it is related to the three pleasures. So, adhyatmik le shanti, adhivautik le shanti, adhivayik le shanti. So, these pleasures are pleasures, misery is connected to our body and mind, misery is connected to the soul, is situated in three circles. So, one is the physical mental circle, the second is the social circle, and third is the environmental circle. And all these three circles cause the soul suffering. So, the suffering that comes in the body-mind complex, that is called as the adhyatmik pleasure. The second circle is the social circle. So the suffering that comes from the social circle is called as the adhibhautik klesha. And the suffering that comes from the environmental circle is called as the adhidaivik klesha. So suffering is undeniable. So the question comes up, you know, why is there both design and suffering? Is there any place in this world where normally if there is design, we should say there is no suffering. If there is suffering, in some place we would say there is no design. So, but is there any place where there is design and suffering? That is a hospital.
In a hospital, everything is well designed. Now, what treatment is to be given, what machines are to be used.
But along with that, there is suffering. So, this world is like a hospital, it is not a home. And when Krishna says he establishes order in this world, what is the purpose of the order in the hospital? It is not so that the patient can stay comfortably in the hospital forever. The purpose of the order in the hospital is so that the patient can get cured and become discharged and then return back home. So similarly, even in 4.78, Krishna says I establish order. Dharma Sanskarana, establish order. But what is the purpose of that order? That he tells in 4.9, that's the next verse. Jatma Karma Chine, Kriya Kekam Yoyanti Tattvatam, Tekva Kekam Yoyanjan, Naiti Maya Sajjana. Krishna says, the purpose of that order is to come to know me. And when you come to know me, into Tattvataha, then we can attract it to me. We fall in love with it, and then we return back to God. So that is the ultimate purpose of Krishna listens to this world, and that is the ultimate purpose of this world. To redirect our love back to Krishna so that we can return back to Him. And for that purpose, He displays His pastimes. So these pastimes display, demonstrate life as it actually should be. Life as it actually should be. Filled with joy, filled with love, filled with everlasting ecstasy. That is what his pastimes are. And Krishna's pastimes are described in many Puranic scriptures, but they are described in most detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam in its 10th canto. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has 325 chapters, out of which 90 chapters are in the 10th canto. And among these 90 chapters, chapters 29 to 33 are considered to be the charama, the summit, the climax. Vishwanathacharya happens a great devotee scholar, and he describes his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sarada Darshini that these are the climax of the whole Bhagavatam. So then Krishna demonstrates his relationship with his devotees. So Krishna as God is quite a mystifying person. Why mystifying? Because there are various Buddhist traditions which have conceptions of God. So God is a great person sitting in the clouds, throwing down the remote in the temple, administering judgment. But Krishna as God is not interested in proving his Godhood. He is not interested in proving his God. I am God, all of you go down to me, and then I will enjoy. Krishna is interested simply in reciprocating love. And for the sake of reciprocating love, he conceals his God. He conceals his Godhood so that love can reign supreme. So the Supreme conceals his supremacy so that love can reign supreme. How does he do that? If people know that Krishna is God, then his devotees, they cannot reciprocate love with him uninhibitedly. So Yashodama, if she thinks that Krishna is God, then she can't discipline him, she can't chastise him, she can't love him the way a mother loves a child. So Krishna conceals his God. So in a sense, Krishna's pastimes are like a drama. And the drama does not convey the idea of falsehood. Drama conveys here the idea of something that is orchestrated for the sake of love, for the sake of pleasure, for the sake of reciprocation of joy. And for that, Krishna uses a special energy that is called the Yoga Maya. So, in this chapter, in this section, 29-34 chapters, so the first verse, 10.29.1, it starts with Bhagavan, Ita, Ratri. So, the long verse goes on. Sharatam Kulama Adhika. So, it describes Yoga Maya Vashita. So, what did the Lord do? He took shelter of Yoga Maya. Now, this word Yoga Maya is a very curious word. If you look at it from the literal point, the grammatical point of view, the Maya is that which makes us forget Krishna. And Yoga is that which is meant to connect us with Krishna. So, how do we have Yoga Maya together? In fact, these two opposite words, one which causes forgetfulness of Krishna, one which brings about connection with Krishna, the two words coming together is a literary device called as the oxymoron. Oxymoron means somebody says, oh, that person is a courageous coward. How? Somebody can be a courageous or a coward. This person is an intelligent fool. How can you have that? So, Yoga Maya, what does it mean? So, here it's talking about, yes, Maya means illusion, Yoga means connection. So, normally Maya puts us in illusion, which disconnects us with Krishna. But Yoga Maya puts us in illusion that increases our connection with Krishna. The Maya that increases our yoga. The Maya that enhances, enriches, deepens our yoga. That is Yoga Maya. It's a special energy which makes devotees forget Krishna's position so that they can love Krishna. And in this, Krishna has all the relationship that we have in this world. When we have parents, Krishna has his parents. When we have friends, Krishna has his friends. We have associates, Krishna has associates. And in the actually in the scriptures, this is the unique revelation, the idea that God performs pastimes. The concept of Leela is not there in any of the world's religions. That is the concept of Leela, that God conceals God so that he can perform pastimes. Pastimes is the translation of the word Leela. This is the unique contribution of the Vedic literature to world theology.
And it helps us understand God and ourselves in a way that nothing else can ever exist. So in all the religions of the world, it is said that when we become too attracted to the things of this world, we go away from God. We fall into impiety, sin, immorality. So now the among the forces that drive us away from God into the world, among the strongest forces is the attraction of the male and female. So now there is nature of it regulated, marriage so needs to regulate that male and female attraction. But then none of the religions of the world can tell us where does this male and female attraction originate from? So why is it present here? And the Vedic scriptures alone describe that there is an original male and female attraction in this spiritual world that is between God and His devotees. And Bhagavad Gita describes in the 3rd chapter, 1st verse, that this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So whatever is present in this world is actually a reflection of whatever is in the of course, it's a perverted reflection. So much of the ugliness, the distortion, the perversity that is present in this world are not present in the spiritual world. So, actually, all the relationships that we have in this world, they are reflections of the original relationship that Krishna has with his devotees. And when we understand the original, then we can understand, okay, this is a reflection. And that's not that we reject the reflection, but we redirect the reflection from the reflection to the reality. So, it's like if there's a mango. Somebody says a mango, I want to eat it, I want to eat it. Somebody says, don't eat it. No, I want to eat it. No, don't eat it. Why? No, that's all I want to eat. You should not eat the mango. No, you know, it's there, it looks good, I want to eat. And somebody tells that person, no, I'm sure you know. Look at it, it's more inside. That is the mango. And there's no mango, there's simply a reflection. If you go inside, you just waste your time. You bump your head up into the underground
river bank.
And you will not be able to give anything. But on the other side of the river, there is a tree. And on that tree, there is a real mango. When I'm saying, no, eat that mango, that doesn't mean you have to reject the mango. You have to deprive the mango. Then you have to give a real mango. And that mango is not a mango. So, our propensity to love is natural. And that is not going to be oppressed. That is going to be redirected. So, the Vedic literature reveals to us, this is the real mango and this is the reflection. So, when we understand this, then we understand the rationale, the reason why the scriptures tell us we have to evaluate our endowments in this world. And that will redirect ourselves to Krishna. So, in this prayer, the Gopi Gita, we discuss about how the Bhagavatam reveals this real life of love. Now, actually, many people, when they talk about Krishna's pastime to the gopis, they start thinking, you know, how can God have this kind of relationships? But the scriptures say, why can't God have that kind of relationships? God has own relationships. God is completely different. So, actually, when they understand the beauty, the glory, the sweetness of Krishna's relationship with the gopis, that inspires us to reenact our heart to Krishna. So, this is the philosophical background. Now let's look at the contextual background. This pastime, this is the 5 chapters are there. 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd and 33rd. So we are discussing the 31st chapter. So I'll be displaying some verses. We will sing those verses and then we will discuss those verses. So in the 29th chapter, Krishna calls the gopis. He plays his flute and then all the gopis come to him. And then they have some familiar discussion. And apparently the gopis become proud and Krishna departs from them. So we'll discuss about that pride a little later. But in the 29th chapter. And then the gopis disappear, the Krishna disappears. And then they start searching frantically. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So they have the knowledge. The search is described in the 29th chapter. They start looking for the footprints. And they try to say, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? But the footprints were so deep in the forest that even the moonlight, the starlight cannot penetrate out there. They're searching for Krishna, calling out for Krishna, asking even the trees and the plants that are there. Krishna, they ask the deer, they ask the flowers, they ask the shrubs, they ask the trees, where is Krishna? Is that magnet of divine love that captures them? And they realize they cannot find Krishna. The forest is too dark. They can say that actually they are not. If they say we can't search for Krishna, we won't be able to find him. Only the demons will come. So what should we do? We pray to him. We beg him to come. So then, when they gather, they will go back to the banks of the jungle. And in utter despair, all the fervent emotion, they start reciting his prayers. So at the end of the 30th chapter, the gopis have come to the banks of Jamuna and they're sitting there and they're begging Krishna, please come. So the 31st chapter is 19 verses. And at the end of these 19 verses, at the start of the 32nd chapter, Krishna reappears. So that is the potency of these prayers, that they call Krishna, they make Krishna appear. Similarly, when we recite these prayers, Krishna is there in our heart. But his presence will not manifest to us. His presence will become manifest to us. So when we understand the rule and we recite his prayers accordingly. So, let's look at the prayers.
So, before I go to the prayers, I'll just give an overview of these prayers. Can you just go to the other slide?
The other one. The other five lines open.
No.
The other?
Sure.
So the other side, the 19th, especially it's increase the view. Increase the view. Yeah. So there are 19 prayers here. So the first four prayers, the gopis are going, Krishna, please appear before us. Then the next prayers, 5 to 8, they are going, please appear and bless us. And then it's like, ask the specific blessings. What blessings do they want? And then normally they say, if we can't have darshan of Krishna, we can remember Krishna. But the gopis are saying your remembrance will not do. Because if we remember you, we are only becoming more agitated by remembrance. So your remembrance is increasing our misery, not decreasing our misery. Therefore, please enter. And then the conclusion, the last prayer is, yes, we live only for increasing God. This is the overview of the prayers. And we have this, I'll talk about the overview of the sections also. But let's look at the first prayer. Will somebody sing this verse? So, telling Guru Jayanti, when you appear, you increase the glory of Praja, and so much of the glory increase, the goddess of fortune has herself come. And she's staying over here. But the Gopis are saying that you are yourself the Lord of the Gods of Fortune, but when you have come to the Dharma, you have brought your misfortune in our lives. What is the misfortune? We are not able to see you. Rich and Dharma. So there is this very sweet interplay in the Gopis' hearts between awareness of Krishna's greatness and awareness of Krishna's weakness. So at one level they understand that Krishna is the Lord of the Gods of Fortune. So he is the Supreme Lord, the Lord Narayana. So normally when you understand somebody's greatness, actually understanding Krishna's greatness brings humility. And understanding Krishna's sweetness brings affection. Because Krishna is so sweet. So we need both. We need humility by approaching Krishna and we need affection also. So in the same breath, we see again and again, the gopis will talk both. They say, you are the Lord of the Gods of Fortune, but you are the ego. The ego means you are not the Lord. Drishyata has two meanings. One meaning is, please see us. The other meaning is, please let us be seen by you. Please let us see you. So please see us, please let us see. Rishyam, Dikshitavas, Dikshu's eyes. So we are searching for you everywhere. We search everywhere, but we are not able to find you anywhere.
तो ये हंड यू आर सर्विस मीन्स आर लाइफ है और लाइफ है इज मेन ओनली फॉर यू वन थ्री चेक फॉर योर डे दिस सर्चिंग फॉर यू गेटिंग यू टू प्लीज योर डे द गोपीज आर सेइंग ओ कृष्ण प्लीज योर डे वी डू नॉट नो अबाउट यू Now these verses start with Gopya Ujjana. So normally in Sanskrit, Uvacha is the verb that is used for singular.
So this is verb. In English also, when the verb is for singular, that is one way of saying it. It is plural, in a different way of saying it.
So Ujjana indicates plural. So Gopya Ujjana means the gopis are speaking. Now what does it mean? The way Acharya described, they have actually gone very deep into the mood of each of the verses. And they have described, they have correlated the mood of each of the words with the mood of the various gopi devotees. And they describe, this verse is said by this gopi. This verse is said by this gopi. This verse is said by this gopi. And like that, they describe, one verse by Lita, the other by Vishakha, the other by Radharani. So like that, they describe. And, however, when they are gopis are speaking this, they are not just speaking it individually. They are speaking the verses as a representative of all the gopis. So that's why Gopya Ujjana. So each gopi is expressing her heart to Krishna. At the same time, while she is expressing her own heart, she is also expressing the collective agony of the hearts of all the gopis. So actually, this gopi Geet demonstrates at a transcendental level unity amidst diversity. There is diversity. Every gopi is an individual. Every devotee has an individual relationship with Krishna. At the same time, in the devotion to Krishna, all the devotees are united. So Sri Gopiya Ujjana. So all the gopis are speaking. How one gopi is speaking one more words. And she's expressing her heart, and she's reuniting the heart of all the verses. And while they're speaking, all the verses have a common theme. Krishna, please come back. Please come back. So, actually, Krishna never causes misfortune to anyone. Krishna only brings great fortune. And in the later chapters, this is the 31st chapter, in the 32nd chapter, Krishna will appear. And Krishna describes that actually I disappeared from you. Only to increase your love for me. Only to demonstrate to the world how great is your emotion for me. I won't reject you. So actually, even when sometimes difficulties come in our life, generally when we get problems in our life, then we want to, we get wild. So that our anger goes in three directions. One, it can go outwards. Second, it can go inwards. Three, it can go upwards. That means, when we have some problems, outwards we start blaming us. That person is like that. That's why this happened. That's why this went wrong. Otherwise, when it doesn't go outward, it goes inwards. Inwards means, you're not and useless. And people get into depression, they get inferiority complex, they get suicidal urges. Start blaming us. A third is, it goes upwards. God is so bad. Makes everything into a mess. So actually, all these three are missing. Now, blaming others is of no use because ultimately it's our own karma, which others are simply instruments for our karma. So, even if others are missing, are not behaving properly, it's ultimately because they are giving us our karma actually. Blaming ourselves is also useless because, you know, this failure is always an event. Failure is never a mercy. So, things may go wrong. But you want this kind of thing. So both these are bad, but the worst is when it goes upwards. Because when we start blaming God for our problems, when we disconnect ourselves from the very person who is most eager to help us. So resentment forms a wall between us and God, and it prevents us from accessing it. So the gopis, when they are praying, are they resentful? No, so they are definitely, see, naturally when things go wrong, we will have emotion. Why is this? So the path of bhakti is not suppressing the emotions. But we don't let the emotions block our connection with God. So sometimes we will be so angry. Right? you know, we'll be so upset, so irritated by it. But there is no place for Krishna in our heart. So we should know that even if there is no place for Krishna, even if there is, our heart has no place for Krishna, Krishna has a place for our heart. What does that mean? Krishna has a place for our brains. Krishna can be our heart. Krishna can fill us with hope. He can fill us with positivity. So it is not necessary that as devotees, when we face the problems in the world all the time, we will always be able to have a positive attitude. We will always be loved by Krishna. No, there are times when things go wrong, we will feel troubled. So we share our troubles much. So the gopis are feeling troubled over here. They are not blaming Krishna, but they are beseeching Krishna. Krishna, please come back. Please come back. We are searching for you everywhere. So we have many difficulties in our life. We are searching for a solution. We can't find a solution. We are praying for Krishna's sake. Krishna will help us find a solution. So go with the calling of Krishna, please come. So, let's go to the next verse.
सर्गदास ये साधु जात सा
सर्गदास ये साधु जात सा
सरसी जोदरा श्री मुषादृशा
सरसी जोदरा श्री मुषादृशा
सुरत नादते शुल्क दासिका
शुल्क दासिका
वरद नाग्न तो नेह किंवदा
वरद नाग्न तो नेह किंवदा
शरद दासिये शरद दासिये शरद इज द ऑटम. So, in autumn, Sadhu Jagasa, Sadhu is very beautiful. Very beautiful Jagasa is born. Sometimes it's true, everything in the world is transcendent.
Sarasi Jodhara.
Sarasi is a lake. So, in the lake, what is born in autumn? Beautiful lotus flower.
Sarasi Jodhara,
the ball of pearl by lotus, is exquisitely beautiful. But Krishna, your glance, your eyes are even more beautiful. In fact, Musha means to steal away. So your glance, your eyes are so beautiful that they excel, they surpass, they steal away the splendor of the most exquisitely formed lotus flower. So the gopis are remembering the beautiful eyes, the beautiful glance of Krishna, and that they are praying. You are not just a person with beautiful eyes. Your heart is also beautiful. Suratana, you are the Lord of love. Suratana, O Lord, you who are the Lord of love. Ashunka Dasika. And we have surrendered to you out of heart. We are your servants. We are your maid servant, Dasika. What kind of maid servant? Ashunka. We are under unpaid servants. So, you are the Lord of love, and we are serving you out of love only. And actually, you are the Lord of love, we serve you out of love. But what should happen? You should give us blessing. You should reciprocate with our love. But then, O Lord, why are you doing our mother? Why are you killing us? So, Krishna, please give us your accusers to God. So, what does he actually separation from you is killing us. Krishna, please leave me. So, the thrust of this prayer is that you save our lives. You are the Lord of God. You will be free forever if the guilt, the culpability of killing, and then comes on your hands. The gopis are not just crying. They are so much agonized
by the feelings of separation, of Krishna, the people of the emotion. And Krishna's glance is captivating their heart, and at the same time, it is working upon their heart. And Krishna, please. Actually, in this world, there are many beautiful things. But the beauty of all beautiful things comes from Krishna. Whatever is beautiful in this world, that is just a spark. They're all beautiful things. The they are reflecting just a spark of oneself. The gopis are saying, yes, now. The gopis are looking around and they're looking at these beautiful flowers. The scene is beautiful flowers, and the scene is beautiful thing. When we compare the beauty of these flowers with the beauty of your eyes, then it's this. So actually, when it's love, whatever we see reminds us of our love. So the gopis are seeing the flowers and they're wearing Krishna. And that hankering for seeing Krishna is increasing. Now, whatever the gopis do, they know for Krishna's sake. They have come to the forest also for Krishna's sake. And they know that when Krishna is not with them, Krishna is also not happy. So when they are saying Krishna come back, it is not for their own pleasure. That is also for Krishna's sake. They say, Krishna, please come back. And they say, we cannot learn that. So actually in this world, we are attracted to many things. But our attraction to Krishna is very, very little. We are attracted to Krishna sometimes, we do some bhakti to Krishna. But even distractions come, and we start thinking what you are doing in the mountains. But actually, our hankering for Krishna is so great that without Krishna, we think, what is the point of life? What is the point of living? Without Krishna, we can't live. In fact, for most of us, we feel that without things of this world, we can't live. Our drunkard feels that without alcohol, he can't live. But the fact is, because of alcohol, he can't live. So the perspective has become completely distorted because of the attachment, because of the addiction. So actually, the soul is eternal, the soul will never be destroyed. But depending on what a person is attached to, the person will find out no doubt. So whatever infatuation we see in this world, that is a reflection, a distorted reflection of the original attraction and obsession. The book was saying, without whom you will be, Krishna please come back. So as devotees, we aspire to this feeling. Now we say that, many of you may have heard in the Bhagavad Gita for some, the soul which is away from Krishna is like a fish out of water. The fish out of water is always restless. So you may say that I am away from Krishna, but I am quite happy. I am not restless. Actually, how it is deep within we are restless. But this way, if a person is suffering a lot, the person is suffering a lot, say, then the doctors will give anesthesia. Now, when anesthesia is there, it's not the disease is gone away. The disease is still there, but because of the anesthesia, the person doesn't feel the suffering. So similarly, for us, what happens is, to the extent we get involved in the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of this world act as anesthesia. And they desensitize us to our situation. That's why we don't feel the misery of being disconnected from it. However, all the pleasures of this world are temporary. Now, when people are bored, people's conception of enjoyment is what? Anything that makes me forget the boredom of my life, that is enjoyment. So people go to watch movies. But when they watch movie, what is happening? Actually, it is all second-hand enjoyment. Second-hand enjoyment, when the hero and heroine there embracing, people are imagining, I was there, it was so nice. So somebody else is enjoying it, people are imagining, I am there. That's why most of the time people watch TV, they watch movies, but they want to have something to eat. Put at the chips or something like that. Because everything is imaginary, something must be real. So, Actually, what happens is, the more we get into the pleasures of this world, they make us desensitized to the reality of our situation. So, we are also as souls without Krishna, we are not. But the illusion of this world is it has other things. And it makes us feel uncomfortable. However, this anesthesia doesn't last forever. As the body's capacity to enjoy increases, as you start getting older, then you start getting too much. So, the gopis, they don't have any anesthesia. They have no conception of a good pleasure. That's why without Krishna, Vedina Kimvata, without you, they don't live. The belly of Krishna, please come back. So, we recite this verse once again, and then we meditate on this, and then we go to the next verse. Yeah, once more we recite this, and then they connect.
Sharadudasaye sadhujata samana.
Sharadudasaye sadhujata samana.
Sarasijodara srimushadrisha.
Sarasijodara srimushadrisha.
Suratanathate Surukdashika.
Suratanathate Surukdashika.
Varatanignato Neha Kimbata.
Varatanignato Neha Kimbata.
So, now the gopi say, Krishna, your killing us is very uncharacteristic. Because in the past, others would come to kill us and you protect us. So, you were our protector, how have you become our protector? So, now they describe in the next verse, Krishna, you have protected us from so many demons. Now, you may say there is no demon over here. But separation from you is the most agonizing thing. The other demons, they were killed us in one moment. But the separation from you is choking our life away. It's causing us a torturous death. Please, Krishna, come and save us. Just as you save us from the various demons, please come and save us. That is the next verse.
Vrishajalavyaya Vyalarakshasa.
Vrishajalavyaya Vyalarakshasa.
Varshamaruta Vaidyutanala.
Varshamaruta Vaidyutanala.
Vrishamayatmaja Vishwato Maya.
Vishwamanatmaja Vishwato Maya.
Vishwadevayam Rakshita Muhu.
Vishwadevayam Rakshita Muhu.
Vishwadevayam Vishwadevayam refers to very modern person. Vishnu refers to king. The father of Radharani, known as Vishnu. Vasubhanu is son. Vishnu is king among the sons. So Vishnu, they are referring to Vishnu as Vishnu. Okay, go on with the one. Vishnu, they are young, violence all of us. Rakshita, please protect us. Rakshita. So they are giving precedence. You have to take this Vishajalavyaya, that entity who made the water into poison, as they attend to Kalia. Kalia, he made the entire segment of the Yamuna River, the Kalia to be poison. Such poison that the birds would fly over and would fall down because of the poison's influence and die. And what's in this Kavya? You listen to this. How many exclusively dance in Kavya's roots? So all the gopis who were in the Vajrasis got the news that Krishna is God. In the roots of Kavya, all the Vajrasis ran and picked up Kavya and the town to his bride. That everybody, the mother is there, the mother is small, only there were babies and they ran. But even the babies loved Krishna, so they also ran themselves. They also ran to see Krishna. All people, everybody ran.
And Krishna waited.
Waited, all the Vajrasis came. And how did you run down? Next to Vrindavan, there is Basana. Basana is the place where Radha and Krishna. So Vishwamitra Maharaj came, and Radha came, and all the gopis came. And then Krishna, all the Vajrasis were. So Krishna actually destroying the demons, delivering them, is just a demon. So he waited for all the Vajrasis to come and inform their pleasure and started dancing. So, he did not have to stay caught in the hoods of Kavya. He stayed caught just so that all the Vajrasis would come. So, all the spectators come, then the performance starts.
So, it goes like that.
You suppress the demon. So, actually, now we may say here that Krishna, actually, when Kavya was there, it was Krishna who was in danger. The Vajrasis were not in danger. So, the gopis are saying, you rescued us from Kavya. So actually Krishna simply defended himself from Kavya. So how is it that Krishna rescued the gopis? Actually, if anything would have happened to Krishna, the gopis would have died. So they are saying that by saving yourself, you saved us. So you saved us from Kavya means you destroyed Kavya. By living, you help us save. So
Krishna Jalanamadeva Yala Ramshisa
Yala is the Yala. That's good. That refers to demon Abhasura. It can refer to many Rakshasas, but it's the same as Abhasura. So Abhasura, ferocious demon who devoured all the Vajrasis, Gopas is such. And then Krishna went inside. So again, the gopis were not involved over here, the gopas were involved. But still, for all the Vajrasis, they are one family, they are all together. And danger for one member of the family is a member of danger for everyone. So if the gopis could have happened, the gopas and gopis could also have suffered. So that's why it's a new rescue us. So,
Yavanyamshasa,
then,
Vashamaruta, Vaidyantamala,
this refers to, Vashya refers to brains. Maruta refers to wind. And Vaidyantamala refers to lightning. So, rains, storms, and lightning. This refers to the Govardhan Lila. When Indra started creating torrential rains, fiery storms, and frightening bolts of lightning. But they all thundered down the tower. And what did Krishna do at that time? He did. And at that time, when he went to Govardhan, all the Vajrasis, they had uninterrupted darshan of Krishna for 7 days. 7 days. And eventually, Indra got tired, but neither Krishna got tired nor the Vajrasis got tired. Indra got tired and he said, now I have lost all my energy, I can't shower anymore, stop. But when Krishna told the Vajrasis, actually, normally there's a storm, everybody's anxious, there's a storm in the middle of the day. If there are heavy rains, people are looking out of the window constantly, when will the rain stop? Then we can go out. But the Vajrasis, nobody is looking anywhere else. They're all just beholding Krishna. So, Nitrai Kudanti. They're drinking through the eyes, what?
Nainamadhirama.
That Lord, who is the source of all pleasure for the eyes, is drinking his beauty, but did not notice anything of the Lord. And after 7 days and 7 nights, Krishna told, now the storm is over, now we can go out. The Vajrasis are not ready to go out. Krishna had to persuade them. What was compelled them to go out? So at that time, it was a great danger to the Lord. Krishna would rescue us from those creatures. And then they say,
Vishamayatmaja.
So, Mayatmaja refers to a new Yomasya. And Vrishya refers to another demon, a cow demon, Vrishya, which I was in November. So, actually, these two demons, now this is, as I said, happening in the 31st chapter. This Vrishya, he comes in the, he's a Rattan Kalishka, so he comes in the 36th chapter. And Vyomasar, Mayatmaja, the son of Maya, he comes in the 37th chapter.
So actually these demons are going to come in the future. So now why are the gopis, how are the gopis referring something to happen in the future? It's going to happen in the future. So actually, everything related to Krishna that happens in Vrindavan, everybody knows it. So when Krishna was a small child, a very small, at that time, Gargamuni had come to me with the name of Selim. And another Rishi called Bhagavimuni, he had come to do the astrological chart. And both of them had said that there is only demon who can get it. And Krishna will destroy all those demons. So the gopis know about this. And they say that now what they say is, Krishna, in the past you saved us from demons. In the future you are going to save us from demons. Why only in the present you are not saving us? So why did I remember? So please save us now. So now what are you doing? It is a new situation. So please save us. Again. We are the speakers, you saved us in the past. Please save us again. Now, the demons that are talked about in Krishna Gita, actually Krishna Gita is historical. It happened 5,000 years ago. And there were these demons who actually came. And they attacked the Now, they happened, there will be some person who is a giant, or something, there is a storm there. Storm demon or a giant. Dragon-like being or whatever. Actually, the universe is far bigger than what we are able to perceive with our senses. And there is so much in this world that we don't know about. And people they say that all these kind of beings are mythology beings. They are not mythology people. Actually, they are fantastic, but they are not fantasy. They are fantastic, but not fantasy. What does it mean? They are real. Actually, now the people who say all these kind of demons, all these kind of things are just imagination. And they will turn on their TV and watch all kinds of shows where people are doing all sorts of imaginations. Whether it's He-Man, She-Man, or whatever.
Whatever it is.
But they have all their creatures, they all have supernatural powers. So the Harry Potter series is so popular. You know why? The Harry Potter, he has some supernatural powers. Now you just have a purely rational perspective. There's no magic. Why are people so attracted? Actually, attraction to the supernatural is magic. Attraction to the supernatural is magic. But that natural attraction to the supernatural should be directed towards Krishna. So we reject Krishna as mythology and then we create our own mythology. Where this mythology is false. Krishna is the reality. And reality is false. Are greater, are grander than what our conception of rationality are. So rationality has changed, but beyond that, there are all the demons who come to Krishna with those fantastic means to deliver his devotees from all things. Actually, Vrindavan, Bhagavan, Kiran, and Kamila, Krishna may use the demons also to just play. In Vrindavan, Krishna never uses even one weapon to kill. He's just a child, he's playing, he doesn't use any weapons. It's complaining the lower the limits. So the Lord is saying, oh Krishna, please deliver us also. Yeah, oh no, 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 no. So actually, all of us in practice spiritual life, there are demons in our hearts also. Which troubles? So I said, the demons are historical, but they also represent something. So there are two kinds of demons. One is doubts, and the other is desires. Krishna repeatedly says, you offer your mind and your intelligence to me and you come back. So mind and intelligence are subtle magnetic. So the mind creates desires and the intelligence creates doubts. The mind creates desires which matters a very much. I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. And that obstructs us in our general conversation. And intelligence creates doubts. This doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. So, both of them obstruct us in our general conversation. So, desires have to be purified, doubts have to be dissolved. And both happen in the process of life. So, these inner demons that are there, when the doubts come and desires come, they implication. Krishna, please protect me. Please release me from these demons. And they will. When Krishna frees us from those demons, then
when we get desires and doubts, that doesn't mean we have to reject them. We have to purify them. So we ask questions, we get these clarified, and also look at it. And then you move forward in our general discussion. So among desires and doubts, actually doubts are more dangerous. Because when desires come, to some extent, desires make us feel low, make us feel helpless. That's what exactly happened in the right direction. But when doubts come, doubts create a sense of superiority. These people are sentient, they don't understand. I am the right. So, when you create a sense of superiority, then it's more different than the direction. But whatever it is, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many places that Krishna asks questions about it. Arjuna answers. And whenever Krishna has asked a question by Arjuna, Arjuna often correlates that question with the name of Krishna as a pair of Arjuna. So what? Arjuna is saying, these demons are doubt. These doubts are like demons. So just as you feel the demons, please kill my doubts also. Rakshitanu. So does that mean once again? Then we'll go to the next verse. Yeah, same one once again. So like that, you are seeing your suffering with not being anything. And then he said, but still, even you, when suffering becomes too much, at that time, the devotees offer special prayer to you. So of course, this is when the stress became too much. That time what happened? Vikramisa, so is the name of Brahmaji. So when the stress becomes too much in this world, Brahmaji will be, all the devotees are stress will be. And then what happened? Vishwanuttaye. All the protection of the world, you receive it. Because the gopi is in the same breath, they are saying, you are the Lord who Brahma created. But they also say, Sakha, you are our friend. So the gopis cannot just. Having a Krishna God doesn't understand that. Krishna is the beloved. Sakha, you may, he won't. Buddha, he said, the sun rises, so he also arose. When he arises, Savatina Kamu Kutte. You are those who suffer the dynasty. That's the next level. The dynasty is the So, really? Yes. You are hard at it. But when the distress becomes too much, you come to the rescue. So, our distress is in the world. Krishna, please.
Khalu Gopika Nandano Bhagavan Akhila Dehina Antaratma
Akhila Dehina Antaratma
Vikhana Sarthiko Vishwa Guptaye
Vikhana Sarthiko
Sattva Deva Sattva Tam Kule
Sattva Deva
is a thing over here. So now, the gopis are free. So the natural way of Krishna is the free. They know and they respect. Krishna is respected by everyone in the world. So they say, we consider him, he was a Krishna. But we know how soft-hearted Krishna is. She cannot tolerate the stress of anyone. Anybody in the world, they have made a stress. Krishna will go to that. She's going to relieve them of their stress. They say, Krishna is so soft-hearted. How can you be so honored? Actually, even if they're not there anywhere, they are praying for the gods. And you can see that. Akhila Devi, you are present in the heart of every single woman, lady, Ananda Rupa Lake, in the seer, the good seer, you are the good seer. So now, sometimes you feel that the God is part of the spiritual world. I am struggling here. Does God know how much trouble I'm facing? Actually, God knows. He knows every single thing that comes to us. Because He is a very expert in that. And He's not dispassionate. It is not that He's unconcerned. If He were unconcerned, then He had no reason to be present in our life. Normally, we would like to be present to those people who care for us, who value us, respect us, and love us. Imagine we have to, it's a point we're staying in a hostel, or we're staying in a room, and we're staying with a person who pays us. We want to paint that situation as quickly as possible. Or even that person just neglects us, doesn't hate us, right? Just neglects us all the time. Even then, we're not happy with such a person. So, Krishna is on our heart, and we constantly neglect him. We sometimes reject him. Go against him in that, but also trying to get him. So, then why is Krishna not present in our heart? There is no need for us, not for us, that is present in our heart. So, He cares for us so much that He comes as our escort in our room, constantly with us. He is truly looking for guidance. He gives guidance internally and He gives guidance externally. Externally, He gives guidance to the new Sadhu Shastra, the spiritual master, to the devotees, to the scriptures. And internally, as the words of conscience, as the inner guide, He has lost a strong director. Actually, Krishna is ever waiting, ever willing, and ever working. Krishna is ever waiting. He's always looking for this, he's been waiting lifetime after lifetime. Almost all of them come into existence, he's been waiting for us. Suppose we go to meet somebody, and that person has said, okay, I'm going to meet at 10 o'clock. And we get up at 10 o'clock, and we can meet at 10 o'clock, and we watch. How long are we going to wait for that person? Now imagine, suppose we meet that person and we wait for 1 hour, 2 hours, but we meet that person. But suppose we had gone into a favor with that person. And we have a friend, and that friend, suppose you are good at mathematics, and he said, I'll teach you mathematics. And you go there into a favor with that person is a German. Okay? You don't come on to it, you don't need me, I don't need you. That's awesome. Really? So when Krishna comes in our power, it is not that He needs us, but He has only liberated pure moments of 10% of the world, then we can't be happy. When He is there in the heart, He is there for us. And we keep him waiting. We keep busy in our own life. I have a job. And we can't push Him. But He stays waiting. He waits for us. Patiently waits for us. Shri Prabhupada was once asked by one of His devotee mothers, Jagannath Mataji, she was making some great things. And she wanted to make the super solid heart. So he said, no, but it is because of standing or sitting. That takes thousands of years of waiting to do. Shock! Prabhupada, I don't mean. Prabhupada is laughing. Prabhupada said, like, yes, he's actually standing. He's waiting for us eagerly to come. And then, he's not only standing, waiting, he's willing, he's always willing to renew, to restart our relationship. Krishna, although we will reject Krishna, he will reject us. We will reject Krishna, he never rejects us. He always waits for us. He's always willing to revive the relationship. He never gets upset with our relationship. And that's why he's never waiting. Anytime you want to come back to Krishna, he's there. Sometimes you can say that. Actually, please come to temple, please come to temple. Say, yes, actually, when God calls me, I'll come to the temple. So actually, God has called 5,000 years ago. He said, oh, that man, he said, come on, he comes to temple. He said, look, everything doesn't come to me. So, but anytime when we want to start a relationship with Krishna, Krishna is there. Anytime. Even we are in the most troublesome situation, we call out to Krishna. Krishna is there. He's ever living. And not only is he ever living, he's ever working. Ever working means he's constantly thinking of ways in which he can help us to come back. So he's planning. Actually, if you look at the way many devotees have come to Krishna in this way, it's remarkable. Because it requires roughly when you call something the poet's script. And the many of us, how did we introduce? Maybe some friend told us, or he's going along and he's sorry, somewhere, or something happened in there. He said, there's a lot of coincidences. Actually, coincidences are simply God's ways of staying anonymous. When God wants to work anonymously, he makes things happen and then those things we call as coincidences. Why? Actually, it's a way it has been arranged by Krishna. He's ever working to help us come back to him. So, in the 8th canto, Kajindra prays, Mahamdhutra Pandita Shukachi Mokshanam Muttavi Bhumi Karnaya Namodaya. He says, my dear Lord, please release me from this bondage. So, Lord, the right one means Muttavi. You are liberated. Yes, I am liberated, but you are bound here by your own karma. Why should I go to you? Bhumi Karnaya, you are very merciful. It's okay. But then I have been showing my mercy for so long for you. You have never taken more of your mercy. Why do I show my mercy now? Oh, daya, daya. Oh, you never get tired. You are amazing. Oh, daya, daya. So Krishna is ever looking at every plan to help us in the world. So, when we are practicing spiritual life, we think that should practice spiritual life right now. Actually, Krishna is constantly planning. A patient has to plan how to take this medicine. This medicine is to be done, this medicine has to be done this time. But actually, the doctor has to plan much more. Okay, this is the diagnosis, and this is the treatment that you work, and this is the case history, this is the background. So the doctor thinks much more about the patient's disease than the patient thinks. When the patient thinks about the disease, the patient thinks only about the disease. The patient doesn't want anything to think about the cure. So when we think about our problem, we only think about the problems. And often the solutions that we think of, they create bigger problems. They don't solve the problems. A few years ago, I was called for a United Nations conference, the 60th anniversary of the United Nations. And there, there was a UNESCO conference. So UNESCO India chairman, he was speaking. And he was saying that since the 60 years since UNESCO has been started, the United Nations, UNESCO is one of the organizations of the United Nations. 60 years been going on, and we have practically millions of volunteers and billions of dollars in spent. And there are around 60 areas in the United Nations been working. And they said, although we have worked sincerely, but still, in all the 60 areas in the United Nations have worked, all the areas, things have become worse. Things are not in the world. So why is that? Actually, I mean, we can have social, cultural, political, economic reasons that are there. But ultimately, unless there is a change of heart within, we cannot bring about sustainable change without. So we need to
Actually, the software analysis to I have used for chapter is that, you know, a peaceful world can create only in a peaceful mind. As you use for chapter is a basic. And only people with peaceful minds can think about peaceful. So with all the technology that we have in the world, you know, the technology will not deliver a peaceful mind. Now, almost everybody understands that anger is bad. But at any time you get angry, is there any counter anger injection? Just take the injection or the anger will go. Or take a pill, take a tablet, cool down. This is, with all the technology that we have, we don't have any medicine to cure anger. What happens with the technology when I get angry? In the past I have to smack someone. Now when people get angry, they have a machine gun and shoot whoever is there. That's how there were so many tragic school shootouts that happened in schools in America. So what is happening is, you know, our inner emotions, we want to heal them for that technology in the world, for that human spirituality, for that innate emotion. So when we connect with Krishna through prayer, through meditation, we regain control of our needs. We become free from anger, we become free from undue passion, and we regain control of ourselves. So, when we practice mantra meditation, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, it is not that we are just looking for some religious ritual which we are doing just because it is good for you. That is actually the best thing that we can do to contribute not just to our well-being, but also to growing. God is beautiful in our heart, beautiful in our heart. Then we can help others to contribute. See, often there are hospitals, and hospitals are colleges, medical colleges. So in the medical colleges, students are given trained with the doctors. Now in the hospital, especially if you are in the hospital, there are so many sick patients. Now if one of the sick patients really comes along, there are so many sick people, nobody is treating about them. And here all the students, where all the students are getting a doctor's note. Oh, why doesn't all of you sitting and just looking at this blackboard, go and treat those people, they are all suffering. Yes, patient is suffering, they have to treat. But not treating those patients, these medical students have to study, have to become trained, have to become competent doctors. So only when there is education and training, then there can be actually managing assistance. So just as we need to understand this for written training, physical training for medicine, physical training for healing. Similarly, there is emotional and spiritual training required for emotional and spiritual healing. And that is offered by those. So at one level, Krishna decides to take us back to the spiritual. But another level, Krishna helps us to create order and harmony even in this world. So in the chanting of Krishna Mahamantra, and in that spiritual life, we are helping ourselves to contribute the best possible way to the world, and we are helping others by being a part of the solution. So, being a part of the world. So, Janmashtami is a time when Krishna is sending 5,000 years now. But that is not just a historical event, it is also an eternally recurring event. So, if we call out to Krishna, then Krishna begins in our heart and he purifies us. He restores order in our inner life. And he brings peace, he brings harmony, he brings satisfaction. And when order comes back in the real life, then we can act in ways by which we can bring order into our heart. So thank you very much. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsavi
Jai.
Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki
Jai.
Shri Radha Gopal Ki
Jai.
Gaurudeva Dattatreya Ki
Jai.
Gaurudeva
Krishna Chaitanya Nagar Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna.